It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. For the second day in a row, President Bush made an early morning statement at the White House. Yesterday, he called on Congress to pass a $700 billion financial bailout package. The House of Representatives did not. And so today, the president once again called on Congress to act.
I recognize this is a difficult vote for members of Congress. Many of them don't like the fact that our economy has reached this point. And I understand that. But the reality is that we're in an urgent situation, and the consequences will grow worse each day if we do not act.
The president says he's going to continue to work with lawmakers. Congress is out today and tomorrow for the Jewish holiday, but leaders pledge to return to the Capitol Thursday and try again. NPR's Brian Naylor has the story.
Lawmakers had been warning since the Treasury Secretary proposed his original plan that their constituents objected to the massive bailout. Still, after days of negotiations and a rarely unified congressional leadership in support for the plan, the outcome yesterday came as something of a shock. And the finger-pointing began immediately. For Republicans, the blame belonged to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who blasted the Bush administration in her speech in support of the bailout.
They claim to be free market advocates when it's really an anything-goes mentality. No regulation, no supervision, no discipline.
Afterwards, Virginia Republican Eric Cantor held up a copy of Pelosi's remarks.
Right here is the reason, I believe, why this vote failed. And this is Speaker Pelosi's speech that, frankly, struck the tone of partisanship that, frankly, was inappropriate in this discussion.
Republicans said a dozen of their members who had committed to supporting the bailout voted no after hearing Pelosi's speech. The often acerbic Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank ridiculed that claim.
Give me those 12 people's names, and I will go talk uncharacteristically nicely to them. And tell them what wonderful people they are, and maybe they'll now think about the country.
But members on both sides of the aisle pointed to plenty of ideological and political reasons for voting no yesterday. They said taxpayers were being asked to pay for the mistakes of Wall Street, that their constituents were overwhelmingly telling them to vote no, that the Treasury was given too much power. Here's Texas Republican John Culberson.
The Secretary of the Treasury is being given authority absolutely unprecedented in the history of this nation. We're essentially creating a King Henry here is going to be able to buy any type of financial instrument he wants from any financial institution anywhere in the world.
Backers of the measure said the consequences for rejecting it would be dire. Massachusetts Democrat Edward Markey said taxpayers would feel even more pain if the bailout weren't approved.
If we don't act now, we won't just punish Wall Street, but punish innocent people on Main Street who will get cleaned out.
That prediction seemed to be borne out by the stock market, which dropped sharply as the votes were being counted on the House floor and it became clear the measure would not pass. Afterwards, Democratic Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut said the most important numbers yesterday were not Congress's votes, but the stock market's losses.
Those are the numbers that I think are critical. This was not a failure of a bill today. This was a failure of will, which is regrettable.
His view was echoed by Republican Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire.
If we don't act promptly around here and effectively, then a lot of people are going to lose their jobs, and Main Street is going to be put into dire straits.
The way forward is not exactly clear. Congress will return to session on Thursday after Rosh Hashanah. Leaders could call for a second vote on the bill in hopes that 12 lawmakers who opposed it yesterday will have a change of heart after seeing the impact of their action on the markets. Otherwise, it's back to the negotiating table. Brian Naylor, NPR News, the Capitol.